welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress, the people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, the state of WordPress security. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that by searching for WP Tavern in your podcast player of choice, or by going to wptavern.com/feed/podcast, and you can copy that URL into most podcast players. If you have a topic that you'd like us to feature on the podcast, I'm very keen to hear from you and hopefully get you or your idea featured on the show. Head over to wptavern.com/contact/jukebox and use the contact form there. So on the podcast today, we have Akshat Chowdhury. Akshat is the founder and CEO of BlogVault, Malcare, WP Remote and Airlift. These WordPress plugins allow their customers to build, manage and maintain their WordPress websites. He's based in Bangalore, India. And we begin the podcast talking about the state of the WordPress community there. We know that there's a lot of WordPress products and services coming out of India, but are there events and meetups like we find elsewhere? We also talk about why Akshat sees it as useful to bring himself and other members of his team so far to attend WordCamp Europe. What's in it for them, and what's their approach to the return on this investment? We then move on to talk about Akshat's journey creating products in the WordPress space. It's interesting to note that whilst Akshat is clearly great at creating products people wish to use, he's also willing to admit that much of his success can be attributed to serendipity. We then get into a discussion of the security landscape and how the products that Akshat and his team make enable site owners to rest more easily. It's all about backups, site monitoring, and firewalls. We go into some of the technical details of how the products work and how they fit neatly into an agency wishing to sell care plans to their website clients. Are there any downsides to adding additional plugins to WordPress websites, and do we run the risk of thinking that if we've installed some security and backup plugins, then there's nothing to worry about? Is this a sensible position to take? It's an educational episode with a warm and very amiable guest. Typically, when we record the podcast, there's not a lot of background noise, but that's not always the case with these WordCamp Europe interviews. We were competing against the crowds and the air conditioning. And whilst the podcasts are more than listenable, I hope that you understand that the vagaries of the real world were at play. If you're interested in finding out more, you can find all of the links in the show notes by heading over to wptavern.com/podcast, where you'll find all the other episodes as well. And so, without further delay, I bring you Akshat Chowdhury. I am joined on the podcast today by Akshat Chowdhury.
Hi, Nathan. Thank you for having me here.
You are so welcome. We're sitting in the Superbock Arena in a cavernous space underneath the arena. And we're going to talk today a little bit about Akshat, his products, why he's turned up to WordCamp EU. First of all, though, Akshat, just give us a little bit of a background. Who are you? Which companies, I should say, do you represent?
Hi, I'm Akshat. I'm the founder of BlogVault. Actually, that's the main company. And then we have multiple products. So some you might have heard of. BlogVault is our original product. And then we've since then built Malcare. We are also associated with WP Remote, which is for agencies. And we have a brand new product coming out called Airlift.
Oh, okay. Tell us what Airlift is.
So, you know, speed is such an important aspect of a website. And making a website fast is, it's a time-consuming and often difficult task. So we are using technology to make a website really fast with a click of a button.
That sounds amazing. So there's four products that you've got. Presumably, you've come to WordCamp Europe to find customers, mix, network, and all of those kind of things. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions about that. Really, it boils down to this. What is the purpose? Why have you come all the way to WordCamp Europe?
It's interesting that you mentioned that you've come for customers and acquire customers. And I remember the very first WordCamp I attended so many years ago, and I was in this mode of trying to acquire customers, and it was miserable. Like the worst possible experience. Then I had to step back because WordPress and WordCamps are not suitable. The community, the event is not, it's not your traditional trade conference. When you attend it to just be a part of the community and try and meet people, and over time you can connect the dots looking back that it has worked out well. So today I'm here actually to reconnect with all the friends that I have after 3 years.
It is very much a social experience for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the most important aspect of it.
What is the main thing that you find yourself doing? So do you attend the talks and sit and chat with colleagues, or do you tend to find yourself on the hallway track just chatting to random strangers?
Yeah, hallway track. I wouldn't even say chatting to random strangers, because now so many of the folks are just such good friends. Yeah, we go back so many years. So it's mostly about just meeting them again and hopefully finally in person.
Do you bring many people from your team, or teams, I should say, or is it just you? Is that a difficult decision? Who gets on the plane and who doesn't?
We try and have a couple of people join me. In fact, a few times I have also not gone and people from the team have come. So we do it on a round robin basis. So we try and get the entire team to participate in the community and meet the different folks here. Because just, again, sitting in India, it's very difficult to understand what the community is about. Coming here and interacting and volunteering, those experiences really give you a sense of what WordPress is about.
Just before we pushed the record button, I mentioned some of the things that we may be talking about, and one of them was the community where you are based. So first of all, where are you based?
So I'm based in Bangalore in India.
And tell us about the community that may or may not exist there.
So we do have a small community, but it's not a very, very active community. And it also makes you realize that while Bangalore is the tech hub of India, you know, it's called the Silicon Valley of India, and there are so many people doing tech, and I'm sure there are a lot of people doing WordPress, but we've never really been able to kickstart a healthy community there.
Do you have any insight into why that is? Is it just that it just never took off, or nobody took the responsibility to organize it?
It makes you appreciate the work that the folks who are building these communities are doing, because it's a commitment. I think people spend a part of their lives to make this thing happen at each of these local chapters. I guess somebody needs to come up with that passion to make it happen.
So it is a different experience here than it would be over there.
Yes, significantly different.
In terms of the event itself, what do you make of this venue? I mean, when I showed up and saw it, I mean, I'd seen pictures and I thought, that looks pretty large, that looks pretty impressive. And then when I actually got here, this is beyond anything I imagined. It's truly enormous.
Yeah, it is an extremely large, really large venue. And I actually still didn't know what to expect until I entered. And the organization is the way they have organized it, with one section going to sponsors, another with the tracks, with the actual talks. It's a very, very large venue and with a lot of space all around to meet people and to talk with people.
I was looking at a word camp, and I can't actually summon up which one it was, but it was a State of the Word address from, I'm going to say it was about 10 years ago. I was watching the video recently and it looked like a cottage industry. It looked as if they were basically in a theater and the signage was all very thrown together. And you compare that to what there is out there a few yards away from us. It's incredible how WordPress has grown. And at the moment, as of recording this, we're in the low 40s, so 42, 43% of all websites. You've obviously strapped yourself to the bandwagon of WordPress, which historically has been an amazing decision. I mean, I'm guessing that you're just jubilant about that.
Yes, no, I consider myself extremely lucky. I wouldn't say it was a well thought out decision as to, yes, I'm going to get onto this rocket ship. We are extremely fortunate to be a part of the success story that WordPress is.
Very recently, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this because it feels a bit like a Chicken Little story. Recently, some statistics came out to show that for the first time ever, the market share for WordPress had actually taken a teeny tiny, nevertheless, a teeny tiny decline had occurred. And there was lots of people writing commentary about this and saying, well, that's interesting. Maybe the growth for WordPress is over. What's your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, I think numbers, you know, they can be very confusing, and especially the number around market share. It's a lot of marketing more than anything else. So when it's going up, it sounds really nice and, you know, 45%, but the way you calculate it, I think if you are today creating a business website or if you're creating a personal website, WordPress is the go-to place. You do have a lot of other technologies coming up. So you will see, and you will see different things take off. Honestly, I tend to ignore it. I don't worry too much about it. And also, I don't worry too much about what's going to happen with WordPress. So I think every technology has its own cycle it has to follow. And my favorite examples are like Nokia and BlackBerry. Those were iconic, massive companies, and they disappeared in 5 years.
Mm.
So when the time comes, it will come, and you can't really do much about it. But until then, let's do the most of it.
Yeah, I think you've probably hit the nail on the head. Nothing is immutable. Everything in its time will cease to be as popular as it once was. Like you said, certain companies like Nokia, I don't even know if you can buy a Nokia phone anymore, but certainly in the day, they were the only things that you could buy. Your businesses, the ones that you mentioned earlier, they fit into the sort of client side, client management piece a little bit. So you've got the ability with Blog Vault to be able to migrate your sites, and you've also got the ability to back them up and do security and all of that. Is that the bit where you've pitched your business? Are you sort of aiming them at agencies who are then selling that services, perhaps packaged up in a care plan or something like that? Is that where you're pitching?
Yes, so we actually have two segments of customers. And in fact, we are sponsoring this WordCamp under WP Remote brand. And that's the brand which is targeted towards agencies, where we take all our products, we are selling that product to agencies. And agencies then who have, which again, is something we have seen over the past few years, the concept of maintenance plans. So agencies manage WordPress sites for their clients. And then they use our products to manage large number of sites. And we make it really easy with the backup, security, updates, and more. And our job really is to make that job easier. So if you're running a business critical website, we make it easy to run that website and make the most out of it. And we sell to two customer segments. You have agencies who are buying large number of sites, and then you have individual site owners, like small businesses or enthusiasts or marketing teams. And they are buying it for a small number of websites. So yeah, there are two customer segments essentially that we target.
You mentioned security there. Since the last time I met you, which is probably 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was probably in WordCamp London or something like that. Yeah, it seems like an age ago now. The amount of security news has been truly stratospheric. Every single week, there seems to be something. Now, whether or not that's hype or it's written about because people are interested in it, I don't really know. I don't really have any insight into that. Obviously, the market share of WordPress paints a bigger target. You know, 42-43% of the web people are going to invest time into figuring out what's vulnerable there. Have you noticed that? Is that a trend? Do we need to be more concerned this year than we were last year about the security of WordPress? And do we need to have things to mitigate? Obviously, I'm sure you would say yes, because you've got all the solutions provided for that. But what's your thoughts of the state of security in WordPress?
Yes, so I think the security is obviously a moving thing, and there's no such thing as absolute security, right? So we'll never be in a state where we're like, okay, fine, everything is secure, everything is good. You'll always need to be wary of it. And especially when you look at something like WordPress, which has such a thriving ecosystem around it. So then security is not limited to one small thing, but it's spread all over the ecosystem, right? So every aspect of it needs to be secure, and which becomes so much more difficult to do. As you have more plugins, more themes, and as this ecosystem also expands, it adds a lot more complexity to the whole WordPress security concept. So that's very, very important to understand. In fact, if you go back to Windows days, when Windows was considered extremely insecure, and while Windows also had its own challenges, a lot of the security challenges came from drivers and all the stuff that you were using on top of Windows. That's a similar concept, or we can draw a similar analogy to WordPress. So while WordPress, the core itself gets more and more secure over time, and we have seen that evolve. And I think there's so much noise around, you know, like people get offended, like, oh yeah, WordPress is insecure. No, WordPress is actually secure, but then the plugins are insecure. But you open a website, you go into the WP admin, and you see they have 20 plugins, and there's somebody willing to add a 21st plugin because you need to get something done. So at the end of it, when you're using WordPress with all these plugins, and yeah, I would venture to guess that was some of the reasons why some of the biggest websites use WordPress is also because of the plugins, because it gives you that flexibility. So there's always going to be more plugins added to websites, more complexity added there. And that means security is always going to be a challenge. You can't take it for granted.
What with 50,000 plus plugins in the repository, plus all of the commercial ones, which are countless, I'm sure there's a number equal to that, possibly bigger. How do you even begin to keep on top of that? Is this just a case of you're reading other blog posts about security and you're getting information from databases? How do you, on the Blog Vault side of things and the Malkare side of things, how do you know what needs to be patched and when it needs to be patched?
So we do keep a close eye on what's happening in the security space. Our approach to security is not to be on top of everything that's happening in the security. We look at it from a first principle perspective as to how do sites really get hacked? What happens when they get hacked? What causes them to be hacked? What do vulnerabilities look like? So not specific vulnerability, because there are so many plugins. And you'll see this so often, you know. You'll see a vulnerability getting declared. Suppose a vulnerability gets declared today. You will see that it's been exploited for years before that or months before that. So declaring a vulnerability versus where the announcement is made versus the actual exploit. So that we believe is not the right way of securing. So we don't really try and be on top of every single news. Obviously, we do it out of interest, but not as a mechanism to secure websites. So we take a more fundamental approach as to why do websites get hacked? What happens when they get hacked? And then try and patch it or try and secure it from that principle.
Okay, let's drill down into that a little bit more then. So what does that mean? Because it may be confusing to people listening. So if you're not finding the vulnerabilities and setting up, I presume there's like a firewall piece in all of this.
Yeah.
So tell us about that, how it works. How does it stop traffic getting into the website?
This is actually a very, very fascinating topic. And this is something which is close to our heart. And I would venture to say that I'm like, we know that things can be improved significantly and we are far from reaching the final vision. We can see month by month we are moving towards this final vision. So WordPress security, again, there's so much noise out there, you know. And if I may dare to say, there's a lot of snake oil being sold also. And that just makes it so much more difficult because you will find some of the most credible people out there, unfortunately spreading misinformation, not willfully, just because the whole space is so noisy and so confusing. Having said that, we believe firewall is one of the best ways of protecting a site. Let's look at like different ways sites get hacked, and there are numerous. I'll just take a few examples to show you what happens. For example, one type of exploit, and this is actually happens much more often than you would think, is it lets you change the URL within the database of the site. And it's actually a very simple operation. One way you can block it is you look at any request that caused that specific operation to get updated and just block it out if it is not done with appropriate privileges. And that's one example of how you can mitigate an attack type. So that just shows you that that's one way. There are others, like we know the famous OWASP SQL injection attacks, which try and exploit vulnerabilities while accessing the database. There's a whole amount of literature out there as to how to block SQL injection attacks, and we can tap into those rules to block out SQL injection attacks. So as soon as you do that, you have saved yourself from a whole bunch of vulnerabilities that affect a lot of websites.
Just before we keep going, I'm curious because a lot of people who listen to this may have only a glimmer of an understanding of how WordPress works. So how does a firewall in fact work? How do you get in front of things before it hits the website and sniff it and say, okay, this is clearly not supposed to happen. Let's just drop this. Let's make this not happen. How does that even work? What's the process that you're interrupting that would normally happen if there isn't a firewall there?
All right, so firewall, again, there are multiple types of firewalls and multiple levels at which firewalls get deployed. You have cloud-based firewalls, something like Cloudflare, or a Sucuri, which is a very popular WordPress plugin, a WordPress security solution. They have, basically, they have a cloud-based solution where when someone visits your website, it reaches their servers first, and then it passes through their firewall servers. Ours is more of a plugin-based solution. So we attach yourself inside your website through a plugin. And what we do is and there are multiple ways of doing it, but depending on the type of hosting you are in, we'll be the very first set of scripts or code to load even before WordPress loads. What we are doing is common with WordFence, does also takes a similar approach. Right, so every request is then parsed, identified. We classify the request as to look at all the parameters that happens in the request. We classify what looks like a good request versus a bad request based on rules. And we have a whole number of rules which evaluate, and we see, okay, that looks funny. It should not happen. That looks like a SQL injection attack. That looks like a XSS attack. And we identify using patterns, and then we block them. There are some more complex ones, like the one I spoke about where a URL gets updated. There we actually sit deep inside WordPress, and we let WordPress load. But in case an operation to modify WordPress takes place, which it should not happen normally, then this piece of code will kick in. And that's the advantage of having a plugin-based solution, because you now understand how WordPress functions and then tap into that knowledge. there are other solutions, maybe like a Cloudflare, where they don't really understand WordPress. And they have taken a more of a generic good best practices of blocking attacks. And they are also effective. But I think when you understand WordPress, when you understand this application so well, you can do things in a manner which can improve the security of a WordPress website.
You mentioned that you're getting in the way sometimes, you're the first thing that's happening and so on. People, again, listening, may be thinking, oh, okay, that sounds like an extra step. And if there's an extra step, is that going to slow things down? Because there's something that's got to be inspected before it's passed through the firewall and allowed to happen. Typically, are you pretty confident about if you put these things in place, you're not really going to see a significant drop in the amount of time it takes to get the first byte or whatever?
Right. We take a great deal of care to make sure that it doesn't really slow it down. But again, you need to go deeper into how WordPress functions and you'll realize that there are so many layers to what causes a WordPress site, what impacts the performance of a WordPress site. And you will see that the PHP pieces, and especially the kind of operations we deal with, is multiple order of magnitudes faster than the slowest operation, which might be a database query. And while a WordPress request is served, there are numerous database queries being made. So in comparison to that, this might be, so if that takes 1,000 milliseconds, let's assume, this operation might take 1 millisecond or 2 milliseconds. So it just dwarfs in front of everything else that's happening. Obviously, we need to always make sure that this thing does not exceed 1 or 2 milliseconds or a few milliseconds, but the difference is so large that you will never notice the impact of it. And again, there's so much confusion around it that having a working model as around this is not straightforward. And it's very easy to be like, oh, this will slow down my website. But how will it slow down? What's happening? And that complexity is, I think the communication around that has not been great.
Another concern that people may have is because you said your setup, it has to make judgments about whether this should be passed through or not. This is malicious or this is not malicious. How easy is it for that system to fail and throw false positives and to erroneously apply the ban hammer to things which should be allowed to pass through? Typically, I'm guessing that you get better at that over time.
It does happen, but it's fairly rare. So again, pattern matching is not an exact science, right? It's like finding, you know, on a street, finding a rogue character or a thief by looking at typical characteristics. Yeah, that does happen, but it's fairly rare. And we try and take a lot of steps to always improve our rules around it. And it's a work in progress. I wouldn't say it never happens. I almost think that nobody should promise it that way.
So 4 products in the suite. You've got WP Remote, Malcare, Blog Vault, and
Airlift.
Airlift, the brand new one that you mentioned at the beginning. All kind of representing security and client management and what have you. Tell us about what you've got planned. If we were to come back WordCamp Europe, what may we see? What exciting new things have you got up your sleeve?
For us, we are heads down focused on these 4 things, and they are each actually very big products just by themselves. Our overall aim is to keep doubling down on these and spend a lot of energy in making them perfect. When I started Blog Vault a few years ago, I thought it was like a 6-week project. And even today, I'm finding ways of improving it. So at least we want to make sure that we are focused on these 4 things and making it work seamlessly and just keep improving it, because it's a very time-consuming process to build a great product.
Yeah, so the roadmap is more about getting it more refined rather than adding feature upon feature upon feature.
Yes, it's always about, and that's my learning over time, that you need to focus on just improving the functionality, existing functionality, instead of adding new things. And it's so easy to, you know, as builders, it's so easy to get distracted and be like, oh, well, there's this nice little shiny thing, a customer is asking for it, let's just build it out. Which is almost how Airlift got started, because we also had so much to do on Malcare and WP Remote, Blog Vault. But we're like, okay, that looks like an interesting problem which we can solve. But hopefully we are going to be focused only on these 4 things.
Yeah, it does feel as if there is quite a lot of that. What I mean by that is that features get added year on year. That seems to be the email that comes through, is that we've got this great new feature. That's why you need to check us out. It's quite an interesting and different approach for you to reject that and say, actually, the product that we've got is pretty solid. We just want to make it more solid, and there probably won't be a great deal of new features going in. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, customers, the best customers really value quality over the number of features. So the best website, they want like, okay, fine, I need it to be as reliable as it gets. And that's actually been the biggest selling point for us. And it's easy for me to talk about it like this. The thing is, the monkey in the head is always like, let's chase this new feature. But the learning is that you need to keep improving it. And the best customers, the people who pay us the most, people who we want to put on the website, you know, on our marketing site, like the logos, they want the most reliable, the most efficient, the best product out there.
Just before we wrap it up, a few minutes ago, you said something about the fact that you thought that maybe it was Blog Vault, I don't know which one you were working on, was going to be a 6-week project. So let's rewind Akshat, your life, to that moment where you thought you were going to build it and to where you are now and how life has changed. It must be quite an exciting thing to look back on. You've had a really remarkable journey from building a product that you had no particular expectation would take off, and then it really, really did take off. And here we are now, sat in a room in WordCamp Europe in Portugal 2022. It's been a very good journey.
Absolutely. Like, I just look at it, I consider, again, and I've mentioned this so many times in two different people, is I consider myself extremely, extremely fortunate, especially like we spoke earlier, the WordPress bandwagon, and if I may call it that, but the success story of WordPress, I was so lucky to latch onto it at that point of time and just grow with it. And I've grown as a person also through this journey, because the person I was then versus the person I am now are vastly, vastly different.
Akshat Chowdhury, we're going to end it there. Thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Nathan.